Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We're also brought to you by Wine Tasting Driver. Planning a trip to wine country? Do it the safe way and hire a driver from Wine Tasting Driver. We're also brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin County for over 60 years. Coming up, we'll talk about the 49ers' 37-27 loss in Seattle, the injuries to Jimmy Garoppolo and George Kittle. We'll look ahead to the Thursday night game against the Green Bay Packers, and we'll hear from Hall of Fame former 49ers quarterback Joe Montana, who was on the NFL Move the Sticks podcast with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. It was an awesome PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, won by Colin Morikawa. We'll always remember the shot he hit on the 16th hole. And now the course is open to the public. And if you're a resident of San Francisco, visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Steve, a lot of disappointment this week after this loss to the Seahawks and the injuries that have occurred, and they're devastating. I mean, to lose George Kittle for 8 weeks, it looks like, with a broken bone in his foot, and Jimmy G out a minimum of 6 weeks and maybe longer, according to the reports, because of the high ankle injury that was aggravated. So, I mean, two of your top players, and just the injuries continue for this team. It's really going to be tough. It's going to be such a struggle to not only play against Green Bay on Thursday, but just looking at the season as a whole, it really puts a bad outlook on everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, they were already down, you know, playmakers in Mostert and Debo, and you know, and the list goes on. And then to lose Kittle, yeah, basically sounds like for the season. And Jimmy G, you know, I guess it really depends on if he has to have surgery on that to pull it back together. I know you and I talked about it that day when we played golf. The forecast is not very positive.
No, and we'll get to all of the ramifications of it, but let's talk a little bit about the game itself. And, you know, I thought early on the 49ers had some chances to maybe, you know, have a decent lead and make it a totally different ball game, but it just, you know, just didn't work out. They got a little too cute on some of their play calls. You know, Jimmy G was off a little bit. What did you think about just the execution and some of those play calls where they had, you know, they tried a wildcat with McKinnon and a read option, and, you know, that didn't work. And they tried to throw in the flat to Trent Taylor, who doesn't seem really equipped for that. They tried to reverse with Ayuk, and it was McKinnon dropping the ball on that. It just didn't seem like they had things going there.
Yeah, I think that was the way of the whole day. They just never found a rhythm, and I think because they weren't making plays, Kyle kind of never really found a rhythm either, and it just seemed to be a struggle really from the beginning. Even though it wasn't bad, it just never seemed to have it.
Well, there's that feeling that you could kind of plug anybody in as a running back, too. And I'm not knocking the guys they have, but, you know, Tevin Coleman, he got hurt after only three carries. And Jamichael Hasty,
yeah,
you know, he has some good moves, but he's not Raheem Mostert. You know, I mean, I think Mostert is a guy that they are really, really missing right now. And other guys, I mean, Wilson looked really good, and then he got hurt. And you're down to, you know, running backs that are just not as good. And to me, that would have been a big key against the Seattle defense that had allowed the most yards through six games in NFL history. They looked a lot better than that against the Niners. Yeah. But I think a running game, it makes a big difference.
Yeah. we did make their defense look really good. I'll give their defense credit that they played better than they have been. What I would love to be able to do is watch the game film to see, like, did the offensive line play well and we didn't run well? It looked to me like they didn't play as well as they had in the last few weeks. And I guess I say that because Seattle's defensive line was playing well, making things happen. And it wasn't just their defensive line. It was linebackers, you know, safeties. Their defense came ready to play. So it would be great to see game film to, like, really see, okay, were the holes there and we were not in them in the right places or in them quickly enough, or were they not there and we truly didn't play that well.
And then defensively, you're going up against a guy who really does look like the MVP right now in Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, he just looks great. And DK Metcalf owned Emmanuel Mosley. And you know, it's kind of hard for everybody because Metcalf is just a beast out there.
Beast. Yeah, that's a big body and runs so well. Looks, a couple times they showed on the telecast him running routes. I'm like, whoa, how do you stop that? He ended up 10 or 11 catches. He looked really good. He made us look bad. And although Mosley made a few plays on him where magnificent plays, you know, running stride for stride with him a couple times and knocking the ball down right at the very end. So we just didn't get the Russell enough. That's the bottom line. You can't give him, too much time.
No, not at all. And Metcalf ended up with 12 catches, 161 yards, two touchdowns.
Yeah.
He kind of reminds me of Terrell Owens a little bit with that body that
he
has.
Yeah, he does. I hadn't really thought about that, but you're so right. That body size and the leanness, the muscle mass. I mean, yeah. He reminded me of T.O. a couple times after he caught the ball, some of those runs. That one where he went from left to right and down the right sideline. Ooh. pretty impressive.
We'll have more with former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono right after this. Planning a trip to wine country? Do it the safe way and hire a driver from Wine Tasting Driver. They're a group of fun-loving, wine-loving people who are social, friendly, and looking to show you around wine country. Whether you're visiting Napa or Sonoma Valley, their guides are here to share knowledge, laughter, and conversations about wine or anything else in between. They're not the stuffy polyester suit-wearing limousine driver that detaches from the group. They are right in the middle of it with you during your car ride, between stops, and of course, available to help throughout the day. From running errands to picking up lunch, they'll make sure you have the best time possible. So give Wine Tasting Driver a call at 707-681-7050. That's 707-681-7050. Or go to winetastingdriver.com.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
So it's amazing, Steve, in the NFL how things can change so quickly because, I mean, there was so much positivity after you win those two games against, you know, the Rams and the Patriots weren't supposed to be as bad as they are. But, you know, those are two pretty good wins. Everybody's feeling really good. The offensive line is playing better. And then this loss, you know, Jimmy G didn't look great. Then he gets hurt everything changes.
He gets hurt. He didn't look right, and I say that a couple times where you can see so much. We've talked about this. You can see so much more on the telecast. That a couple times where they brought a fifth guy that was really fifth or sixth guy. It's his guy, and he was not even looking at him at all. you know, as your kind of blitz pickup, and okay, this guy's unblocked, so I got to get rid of the ball. A couple times didn't see him at all.
And that has nothing to do with an injury. I mean, that's just not seeing him.
No.
But was that was that sort of an aberration, or have you seen this a lot from him?
No, actually, I really haven't seen it a lot. But I felt like they Seattle defense confused us and did a lot of different things than they had been doing that maybe they saw on film. And that's on Jimmy. That's also on, you know, that's on coaching, you know, making, being able to pick those things up as a quarterback coach and preparing your guy, to see those. At the bottom line, I'm going to credit Seattle for having a good defensive game plan and really pretty much shut us down.
Well, I want to get into a deeper discussion about Jimmy G here, Steve, because, you know, it's interesting yesterday. I'm listening to KMBR, and they are all over Jimmy G. I mean, Matt Maiocco from NBC Sports Bay Area was the guest, and he actually he wrote a story about how Garoppolo has never taken his game to a higher level. He was never an automatic, which is Shanahan's expectation, you know, about this disappointment and, you know, about the salary that's been written about how the 49ers will have to make a decision because of the cap space and everything like that. And we can get into some of those details, but I'm a little surprised. I mean, I think people are jumping off the bandwagon in a hurry after, you know, one game there. Here's a guy who took you to the Super Bowl last year. Yeah. I don't know if that's warranted. What do you think?
No, that's definitely not warranted. And I'm curious what did you mean by the, like, automatic being like he was not a first round pick, you know, kind of a future Hall of Famer? Is that?
No, I think he's talking about how, you know, he was good during the Super Bowl run, but he's never automatically great. I guess what he thinks is that he's not as consistent as Shanahan would like to see. He also mentioned that too often he doesn't throw decisively or with anticipation. And I don't know if I agree with that. I think he does most of the time. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say, I think most of the time, yes. You know, every once in a while he doesn't, but that's part of playing quarterback. I honestly think that, and I talked about it a minute ago, that I'm not so sure how well coached they are. That's my big thing is, you know, whoever's, I honestly don't know who it is, that's coaching them as their quarterback coach is that person preparing them well enough, read wise and, you know, seeing blitzes, and things like that. They just, and we've talked about this a ton, that they just, they all get, they're going backwards. They're stuck on their back foot, and there's just nothing behind the throw a lot of times.
Well, Shane Day is the quarterback's coach, so I don't know what's going on there.
Okay, yeah, that's just what I'm, you know, it's what I'm seeing, and it's, I mean, that's, I know it's the way of playing quarterback in the NFL, but all these guys need to watch Brady and Breeze, Russell Wilson, and learn how to step up in the pocket and make a throw. And if you don't have anybody open after three progressions, take off running.
So you think it's more of a philosophy with him and the way he's being taught?
I think that's part of it. Yeah, I truly do. Is he the best quarterback in the league? No, but I think he's pretty good.
I think so, too. I mean, listen to this, Steve. This is what I tweeted, because I did a little research. I tweeted that since the start of 2019, I'm ranked fifth in the NFL in completion percentage, fifth in yards per attempt, believe it or not, sixth among NFC quarterbacks in passer rating, and I'm also fourth all-time in winning percentage among quarterbacks with 30-plus starts. Who am I? Jimmy G.
You can't argue with that.
I was like, but I'm hearing
argument over.
Right, and I'm hearing Larry Kruger say the 49ers should get Matthew Stafford. So I'm jumping out of my chair, going,
God.
No. I mean, this guy's a winner. I'm not saying he's the best quarterback in the NFL, but he's in the top 10, and he can help you win Super Bowl. That's what I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I completely agree with that. I mean, the armchair quarterbacks, the talking heads, have never been in there, and done that. I think there are some things fundamentally that he can do better, and in my mind, that's just with some coaching. But I mean, I would agree. He's in the top third of quarterbacks in the NFL for sure.
Well, here are the numbers, too, that you got to think about if you're the 49ers. Because, of course, there's the business part of this. And he's going to count against the cap $26.9 million in 2021, $27 million in 2022. And if the 49ers cut him, they would lose only $2.8 million in dead cap space next season. So that would save them $51 million over 2 years. They could spend that on other players, of course. But again, it's a quarterback. Like, who do you find that's that much better than Jimmy G? I mean, I know there are only four other quarterbacks that have bigger contracts. So the contract is big, but who do you go get to replace him? That's my problem. I don't have an answer to that.
Right. And that's strictly a business decision if you were to do that. That's all part of the equation these days. And I get it. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal a few days ago. I don't know if you happen to see it, but it was about basically the reasons behind why Miami made the move to Tua, and whole reasoning, and they talked to some other GMs that you have to win, you have to be competitive, and you have to try and get to the Super Bowl while the quarterback, the young quarterback, is in his rookie contract, because you can add all the surrounding pieces while he's only making $7 or $8 million a year instead of making $8 million a year. Because once he's making $28 million a year, he has to carry those pieces that can't be added because of the salary cap.
Right. Yeah. He's taking up so much room. Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with it, but it does make sense when you look at it from the mathematical business standpoint.
How about the standard, too, that's set? I mean, you think about Jimmy G, played in New England, and he's behind Tom Brady, who's considered, maybe the best quarterback ever. And then he comes here, and we know about the standard here. I mean, this standard was set back when you were playing, Steve, and, Joe Montana, Steve Young, and everything that was going on there. So you've got a standard that's almost impossible to live up to if you're Jimmy G or any quarterback of the 49ers.
Yeah, and I don't really even look at it that way. I'm just looking at, I watched, whether I'm watching Daniel Jones last night, which, he makes, got an arm, just step up in the pocket. And if you don't have anybody, run, you got speed. Anyway, I'm just looking at it fundamentally, they're just things that they do that they're not helping themselves. Whether they're future Hall of Famers or not, I think Kyle has a system. He has a process that's pretty good. Obviously, we're without a number of playmakers right now, which does not help. But I think there are just some things that fundamentally they can do that will help them and help the team.
49ers Extra continues in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in Santa Fe. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, speaking of coaching, there's something here I want you to hear. It was on the Move the Sticks podcast. Joe Montana was talking about the quarterback standards and team standards demanded by Bill Walsh. You get a mention here. So listen in to Joe Montana on this podcast.
Well, I think Bill, one thing that Bill, he had us strive for was perfection all the time. He wanted you to be perfect, and no one more so than the quarterback. If you go back and if you watch old footage of whether it was myself, Steve DeBerg, myself, Steve Young, Steve Bono, there's a lot of Steves in there, isn't it? you don't see a lot of guys diving for balls or on occasion, very rare. He demanded crossing routes 12 inches in front of the numbers. If your guy's running a hook or something where he's coming back and looking at you, you can see where the defender is. I want you to throw the ball to the opposite number to tell him to turn that direction, so he doesn't turn and get hit in the face. And just the little things that made a difference to Bill. We did that on both sides of the ball. I mean, he demanded that part of it. And in return, the things that he did for the team that really kind of helped was that we were the first team to take pads off. I mean, we rarely ever put on full pads, even in training camp. Maybe one time for a scrimmage here and there. Most of the time we'd have just shoulder pads, and then the second practice we'd be in just shorts and helmets. And his philosophy was, look, as long as I see you're mentally preparing yourself and you're doing the things you're supposed to do, we'll keep it this way because I want you healthy on Sunday, not on Wednesday. And so, you know, he goes, and if I don't see it, well, we'll go put the pads back on. I'm happy for that. And he would do that on occasion just to get us and make sure that we knew that he would do it. But in the long run, it was, you know, his philosophy was, you know, why do you want to be mediocre? You know, if you strive to be mediocre and you miss, you're not going to be on this team very often, very long. And so his thing was that perfection, and if you miss being perfect, you still can be pretty good.
You know, so that right there, Steve, is really a great philosophy. Going back, I'm curious about your memories of it. I mean, the striving for perfection part is something that everybody needs to kind of remember, maybe bring back to the organization.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that I got out of that is that there was a standard that we had to play to, and that standard, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you looked at it, was a future Hall of Famer, maybe, and you know, and in my mind, the greatest quarterback that I ever played. So, for me, for Iceman, for Steve DeBerg or Steve Young,
all the Steves,
yeah, for all the Steves, you know, I'll speak for myself. I was trying to make myself look as much like Joe Montana as I possibly could, and I know I've talked about this with you before that when I went to the game, I tried to do everything. Even the rhythm of calling the play in the huddle, and how we came out of the huddle, you know, to make it as seamless as possible when I went in there. And I think that I'll take it a step further. You know, Kyle didn't play quarterback. Whoever you said earlier today, I think you said was their quarterback coach name. I don't know if he played quarterback. Maybe he did. I honestly can't say. I don't think I've ever read his bio. But if you haven't played it, it's hard to truly understand it. And I think that I'll go back to someone like Mike Holmgren, who was great for me. He played quarterback. Okay, he never played in the NFL, but he understood what it takes to play the position and to put you in a position to be successful from a play calling standpoint, as well as training you fundamentally to make all the throws and to hold that standard high.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be really, I mean, Shane Day did not play quarterback and, you know, let alone in the NFL. So it's definitely an interesting position to be in.
It's hard to understand it. I mean, just like me trying to, you know, yeah, I could help somebody, you know, a little bit play defensive line, but to have the mentality of how to play it and make all the moves. You know, I've heard some former, this is not politically correct, but I've heard some former teammates say, well, every position coach in the NFL should have had to play that position.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. Yeah.
That's not politically correct, but I mean, that's, you know, those guys that you're coaching. Now, some guys that play the position may not be great coaches.
Right.
they're better players than they would be, you know, talking or coaching fundamentals of that position.
Right. It doesn't always work out. Even in baseball, Ted Williams, I mean, he wasn't a great manager, but he was a great hitter.
Exactly.
Same kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
Now you've got a backup quarterback coming in, and like you said, you know, trying to mimic Joe. How does Nick Mullins approach this now? Because he has been in this position where he's come in. He had the disastrous game. But after that, you know, he looked really good against Seattle. When he came into that game on Sunday, he was good.
He did. Came in, nice rhythm. Got the ball out of his hand quick. I think it's – I'm gonna again go back to – back to the coaching that, you know, they have to understand that, okay, if it's not there, you know, throw it away, run with it, get down, you know, live to play another play. Just, you can't worry about the turnovers, because that's when you start worrying, oh no, I can't throw it. That's when you're going to throw the pick. But I think just them being prepared. And from what I understand about Nick, he's always very mentally prepared. I think he'll be fine. And if he's not, then CJ he's played well when he's had an opportunity so far this year also. So, you know, it's the biggest thing for them is trying to get a running game going, which they did not have.
Absolutely. I mean, on Thursday against Green Bay, this is a team on Thursday. Green Bay, they just on Sunday gave up 163 rush yards to Dalvin Cook and 3 touchdowns. So obviously, they're not stopping the run. You got to figure out a way to get it going. But again, I mean, you don't have Mostert. You don't have Wilson. You don't have Tevin Coleman. You got all these guys out. You're counting on Jamichael Hasty. You don't have Kittle. So now as far as throwing the ball, you got, you know, Ross Dwelly as your tight end. I feel bad for Mullins because he just doesn't have the same weapons. You know, Debo's been out. It's tough.
Yeah. The good thing is he has the O-line. And that's been the one relative consistent piece, you know, the whole season.
They've been mostly healthy. Yeah. Mostly.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think he'll be fine, but it's not going to be easy because you just don't, I mean, you're missing literally almost every one of your playmakers.
By the way, here's another surprising stat. Mullins, 70% completion rate. He's fifth in the NFL for quarterbacks that have thrown at least 75 times. That's pretty good. I mean, he's fifth in the NFL, and it's, you know, his third start of the season.
Well, he'll be fine. Yeah.
I think he will be.
He'll be fine.
Green Bay, by the way, they've got a coronavirus issue. They've got A.J. Dillon tested positive. He's out. And then they're also going to have Jamal Williams and he's a running back, and linebacker Kamal Martin, they are out as well because of the contact tracing and everything that's going on there with the Packers.
But they have, I haven't heard anything. They are going to play.
The game is on.
The game is on. Yeah.
Game is on. And the 49ers have done well against the Packers. I mean, you think about it, they won twice against Green Bay last year, including the NFC Championship game. So it's a team they've done well against. They're having issues, you know, with the coronavirus, and the Niners have 71 players that have gone out this year. That's 3 more than the next closest team. So to be 4-4 with everything that's gone on, I mean, it makes me think they still have enough depth to sort of make a run? And who knows, too, they're talking about, Steve, I don't know if you heard about this, they're talking about the possibility of 16 playoff teams. If they have to cancel any games due to COVID, they might expand the playoffs. So, you know, you can't give up on the season.
I saw that. They were talking about 18, right?
Or 16 is what I saw. Because right now you got 14, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, to 16. That's right. Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, you can't count out the season at this point. You got to keep your head up. You know, keep your head held high.
No. And I don't think they will. I mean, I think there's, you know, I think there's a good attitude in the locker room, and they'll turn it around. I mean, last week they just didn't have it.
And the last item of note is that Quan Alexander was traded to the Saints.
All that.
Yeah, for Kiko Alonso and a conditional fifth round pick.
Yeah, I haven't really read. I don't fully get why that trade. I don't know.
Well, it's two guys who have been, you know, injured, and Alonso, he had a torn ACL in the playoffs last year. So, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know that it's a big trade for either team, but we'll see.
It's kind of one for one. Nothing. Wasn't anything blockbuster.
No, I don't think it was. All right, Steve. Well, Thursday against the Packers. We'll talk about it next week. See how that goes. Thanks a lot, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. We'll talk about that Thursday night game against the Packers when we reconvene on Tuesday. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.